Forever Dog.
Hey, gentle listeners, it's Andrew, and welcome to Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. It is a podcast all about scary stories, urban legends, and spooky things you tell us about, and it is a comedy podcast about those things. So please do not come here looking for Encyclopedia Britannica, like lore. Great podcast. I highly encourage you to listen to it. This is much more like a person who has been at your school for 9 years, just because they like to live in the action. They're not ready to move on. And I know this sounds a little bit different. Anna's not here, but don't panic. She's fine. She'll be back. But we've got a very special guest with us here today, so you don't have to just listen to me talk. She is a comedian. She's a writer. She's an animator. She's a cartoonist. She truly is one of the funniest people I've had the pleasure of meeting over social media over the pandemic. Joining us today is Katie Fischel.
Wow. Hello, Andrew. Thank you for having me. That's really nice.
Oh, man. It really, I've been so looking forward to having you on, both Anna and I, and it's such a treat to finally have it happen.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm so sorry that Anna could not be here today. I guess she had something better to do. And I say that as I sent her a really heartfelt text saying, yeah. I love you and I wish you were here. But thank you so much for having me on. I just love the pod.
Oh, I'm so glad. And yeah, Anna is in a balloon race around the world. It's kind of a long story. Yeah. She and Phineas J. Fogg have partnered up. Imagine, I feel like I would watch that movie.
I would say, yeah, and I envision not her in a hot air balloon, but in the big sort of mechanical spider from Wild Wild West. She went full top hat and sort of quit all of her jobs and is doing that now.
It's so fun. I remember that being an early movie I saw in theaters, and I remember it kind of being the first movie I saw as a kid that I was like, I feel like maybe this didn't come together in the way they were hoping it would. Like,
I just could tell. That's a big deal.
Yeah. It was like, I went from a summer of being like, I love Batman and Robin, and then being like, I kind of feel like this was, they had some big ideas and they just didn't come to fruition. Mm-hmm.
That was like when I watched, Spaceballs when I was in third grade, the most funny and genius thing I've ever seen in my life. Spaceballs when I was like in eighth grade, I was like, There are some moments in here that aren't as funny as I thought.
It really, that process of rediscovering. I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like in comedy, it's more often I'm like, oh, yeah, something I used to find funny, I just can't recapture that. But when it comes to scary movies that I'm like, I'm sure this isn't as scary now, I am stunned at how often I'm like, oh no, this is now just as scary to me. It like awakens some primal.
Yes.
Old, yeah. Have you had that experience?
I literally, you say that and my eyes lit up. I just had that experience with Luke, my boyfriend. So he really does not like scary movies. Or he like tolerates them and appreciates them.
Oh yes.
But I think he really, the act of watching them is not the enjoyable, like sort of adrenaline that maybe other people, you know what I mean? Like the spook is not fun for him. and I think he sort of did the thing where he like watched Hereditary. He said it like killed a part of himself. Oh. So now he's like, oh, maybe I'm able to watch this now because it was so scary. And now anyway, so we just passed through Halloween season, as
of
you
course.
Know.
Yes.
And one of my favorite scary movies ever, and I was not sure, and I was kind of embarrassed to say it out loud because I was like, this is like from 2006. Like, is it lame? Did I like forget? You know, am I like 11 watching this? Like, this is so awesome. And then revisiting being like, oh no, this is like such a bummer. And everything looks blue and green for some reason, like a music video. You know what I mean? We were just like, is this bad?
It was that era, yeah.
The movie The Descent. Have you seen The Descent?
Oh yeah. The Descent is very scary.
Yo, it is fucking terrifying.
Yes.
And we watched it. Luke had the biggest, when they did the monster reveal. So I don't think this is ruining anything.
No.
The genius thing about The Descent. So it's a spelunking movie, which first of all.
I mean, what a genre.
What a genre. A
lot of competition.
An untapped well of spook. Are you kidding me? Big hole?
Big
bunch
hole.
Of hot friends go into big hole?
Huge. Yeah.
Whoa. So we're in the hole. The first, I would say, 45 minutes are just in the cave. And it is the most claustrophobic. There's no spooks. It is just the act of going through the cave with no lights, a lot of sensory deprivation. It is absolutely terrifying. And then guess what? There are some fellas down there.
There are some mole people down there.
They got some little guys.
Yeah.
And they come out swinging, and the reveal of it is so genius. And it's like the classic 2006 thing where they have the like heat camera, like infrared camera, and then turn monsters behind you. But it's like the pop out of it, it just was so successful. I'd seen it 10 times.
Yeah.
I jumped out of my seat because it had just been a little while. It is just like masterful. And did you know, because when we watched this, I was so sort of upset. I screamed and threw something and started punching the wall, and Luke got really scared and had to leave. And now we're not seeing each other anymore. But they have a different ending.
Yes. Yes. There's a European ending and an American ending.
Yes.
Right?
And I don't want to spoil it to the listener, because if you haven't seen it, please watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. But the UK version is like, apparently they were like, this is too upsetting for American audiences, so we can't show this.
Which is so like, wild.
Yeah. Because it's also like, folks, we've been watching this movie.
Yeah, this is the crazy. Yeah, like also the fact that we've made it through that entire movie and they're worried about like, I don't know about that ending. It might be too much of a downer.
100%. It's like also like, you know, again, not going to spoil anything, but there's a big tragedy at the beginning.
Yes.
That sort of propels everything. And that alone, you're like, okay, well, that's the most horrendous thing I've ever seen in my life. And
right,
like,
We're starting there.
And that's minute five.
That's the thing. And emotionally, I feel like the UK ending is more like emotionally satisfying to me than 100%. The American one. That I do remember seeing and being like, what a weird ending to that.
It's fully random.
Yes.
Random sauce. It is weirdoville. It is like, because I was like, I'm not crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
This ends cooler than this.
Right,
and I rewatched it on YouTube. And what they just did was they just cut the scene in half.
Yeah.
It just ends so abruptly in this way where it's like, it just genuinely feels unnatural.
That's a very good point. I remember reading about this, that like in the original Frankenstein in 1931, there's like this incredibly sweet and devastating scene where the monster sees a little girl throwing flowers into a lake, and he goes to join her, and she's not afraid of him, and they're like doing this thing together. They run out of flowers, and he sees like, oh, beautiful things float in the water, and so he throws her in the water. But censors at the time were like, this is too disturbing, so we're going to cut that whole scene out. But it made that scene so much more disturbing, and it took all the humanity out of the monster, which there apparently was a cut where it was just the monster saw a little girl playing by a lake.
Just threw her in the water.
Even worse, cut to the next scene, and it's the father carrying the dead, wet girl in his arms. And it just is like, oh my God. So I do think it's interesting, like, I get that being a censor must be a very difficult job, and I know some of them must be like very wonderful people to work with, but I think that when you don't believe in your audience's ability to have complex human emotions,
100%.
Sometimes what happens is you end up with like a far more grisly, stilted thing.
I agree. And it's just like, and you also are just completely in the, and I think in these two cases, just like cheapening the film.
Right.
You're just like making it just worse in this very real way where it's like, I understand for like television or whatever. That's one thing. You don't want like your child watching whatever at 3 p.m., but it's just like, for God's sake, you know, give it the rating that it deserves, warn people, and then, you know, let them get scared by the cave people.
What were the movies as a kid for you that were like formative? They don't even have to be horror movies, but like movies that scared you, but you felt drawn to.
I mean, you know, you're going to love this. Absolutely The Mummy. Absolutely The Mummy. The Mummy was like such a big deal for me and my brother Sam. We watched it all the time, nonstop, forever and ever. The pop-out scene at the beginning where Jonathan is in the tomb and he jumps out at his sister scares me every single time. I remember like being so freaked out by the jump-out scene as a child. Like we would watch it, had the fifth time that day, like hiding behind the couch waiting for it to happen. And every single time just screaming. I genuinely thought it was like very scary. The scarab beetles, forget about it. No, thank you.
Yeah, buggies.
The buggies. You know, like I really, really loved horror movies as a child. I was very much drawn to it. I remember, I mean, because I also loved animals. So loved like, I love the movie Jaws. From like when I was like in kindergarten, I was obsessed with Jaws. And I always just like, you know, liked when there was a big animal in it, you know?
What is that? That is because I do feel like that is so often the entry point for kids and scary things is like there's a big animal eating people.
Yes. Yes. I think, it, you know, I think also, you know, I've thought about this because I was an Animal Planet freak and I was like a Discovery Channel head. Right. And so I think that. And I think it's such a normal thing for kids like to be obsessed with like dinosaurs and have like dinosaur facts or like animal facts or whatever, because I do think that it's like the one of the few things that you can use to like, you know, state your own like, you know, autonomy at a young age. Right. So it's like, oh, your mommy and daddy are God, obviously. And then it's like, you know, what is your one power? And it's like, that's a velociraptor and this is the thing that it does, you know, or whatever it is. So I do think that like having that weird animal connection and being like, well, actually, this isn't scary because I understand the patterns of sharks or whatever it is. Genuinely, I think was a little bit of it where I just like was like, this is actually a buddy and I'm not afraid. And that makes me powerful and taller than my mommy and my daddy.
That is very well put. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. There was, I guess, like, I think it was also because at that time, especially like the late 90s, early 2000s, I feel like the Superstation, like TBS was big for showing like edited versions of like Jaws. Weirdly, like Deep Blue Sea was on TV a lot in the early 2000s, I feel like.
I just put my hands in the air. Blue Sea, thank God you reminded me of that. Yeah. Speaking of sharks, oh my God, that was one of my favorite movies of all time when I was a kid. I'm obsessed with Deep Blue Sea.
That is a wild ass movie. That a double feature of Deep Blue Sea and Anaconda is my kind of party.
Oh, can we do that?
I would love that.
We're stating it on the pod right now. Anna, get back here. We're going to do this. Please.
Anna, I love Deep Blue Sea. Take your robotic spider back here. Convince Dr. Lovelace to turn it around.
Come crawling back in the coolest way. I'm working on a book, and one of the pages in my book is about the first, like one of the first like little dates that I planned as a child. And it was, I invited my crush over. I was like, dates, the romance is theme. Like they are, you have to have theme for romance to happen. I was like 8. And I was like, so you're going to come over and we're going to watch Deep Blue Sea, my favorite, most awesome movie in the whole wide world. And if you don't like it, then you don't like me.
That's it.
And also because of the theme, which is under the sea or whatever, we got like a shrimp cocktail platter from Costco. Oh. And so I had shrimp cocktail and Deep Blue Sea. And I was like, welcome to the Katie experience.
Katie, and, that's a great first date, I think.
Yeah, wow. I think so. You know,
wow. Shrimp cocktail and Deep Blue Sea.
Can you imagine?
I can. And I like it that I was also very much a theme kid. I was like hosting, host a murder parties way too early. Like,
no, that's so cute.
Like our brains were not yet at the place where I feel like we could do like crime solving in the way that like these basic adult parties were supposed to function. But I just wanted everyone to dress up like it was like Murder on the Orient Express, you know, like that's really what it was.
And there is something that's so adult about that level of organization where you're like, yeah, I put this together.
Planning a menu, you know, like that was big. That was big for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Cookies and also milk.
Now, so as an Animal Planet kid, were you also like, wasn't there that series about like cryptids called like Monster Hunt? Did you ever watch that show?
Oh, you know, I would say that the shows that I remember the most. No, I don't remember that show.
Okay.
I don't say anything for the rest of the podcast. No.
That's where things
took
a turn.
That's not what I watched. I watched a show called The Most Extreme. You know?
I do know this one, yes.
Oh, yeah. And Most Extreme Predators, the most big, dangerous guys in the world. And yeah, I loved that. I loved, like, I was very much drawn to, like, you know, quote unquote boy stuff, you know?
Sure.
And so like the big scary things, I think it was also intertwined with the horror fascination.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like, I'm actually tough, so I can do this. And I love predators. Cause in fact, I see myself as one. So
am I combining two shows? I feel like there was a show on Animal Planet. I forget when, I think maybe early 2000s, where it was about like in a fight between a jaguar and like a shark.
Yes.
Who would win? And then they would like make a big machine of animal, but they wouldn't fight them. They would just be like, here's the bite power of a wolf versus, you know,
exactly. What was that show?
It was not called Beast Wars because that's another show, but it feels like it should have been called Beast Wars.
I think it must have been like, oh God, something colon tiger versus lion or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it was in the same vein as The Most Extreme, where it's just like, you know, like shock jock animal, you know, whatever.
And you won't believe.
Yeah, for wretched little boys to watch that spiked hair and flame shirts. And it's exactly what it was. Little young Guy Fieri's pitter-pattering around.
Wow. Yes, Animal Planet was for wretched boys of the early aughts. Wow.
All of the awful sons of 2004 gathered for one big predator show.
Did you ever delve into the like kind of biography channel, True TV, like Celebrity Ghost Stories or like any of those shows or like Most Haunted Hotels?
Yeah, I think I was into that. I what did I watch? I loved like the I Survived sort of culture, you know? Any sort of like alien encounter? Were you big into that? Were you big into like haunted house shows?
I really was absorbing everything, I feel like, at that point in time. I survived. One that stuck out to me is there was a time when a guy was like shipwrecked and he lost feelings in his arms and legs and lobsters ate his hands.
Wow.
Or maybe they ate his feet.
Whoa.
Yeah. He like, but it didn't hurt. He could like feel a little nibbling. And then he saw like, it was like crabs or lobsters or something. I remember seeing it on an airplane. It was like early.
I mean, that's the beginning of a superhero story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. And then he's Lobster Man.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Those I gravitated towards. Any of the stuff that was like for aunts to watch late at night or early on a Sunday.
Then sort of scream at you over lunch. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't go in the ocean because I heard that there was a young man who was not, he was almost your age, doesn't have feet anymore, spitting tuna sandwich at you.
Yeah, that's why you have to wear your beach shoes in the water. I don't want you complaining to me when you don't want to wear your beach shoes and you don't have any feet because lobsters ate them off.
You look down, you say, surprise, where are my toes? Well, guess what? They're in a lobster's tummy. So don't come crying to me.
Gentle listeners, Katie sent me a video mere minutes before we started recording that I'm still vibrating with fear over but also like titillation. Mm-hmm. And how it was framed was like a week ago, Katie, you had sent a thing saying like, I've seen a video and I now am convinced in the existence of ghosts.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you came to see this video and what the content of the video is?
Okay. So I will say you know, and I feel so embarrassed because I was like, I was debating whether or not I would bring this to the pod. I felt like I absolutely had to.
Yes.
But I am so deeply embarrassed and I want that to be known because it's so classic. I don't believe in ghosts. I have a true good reason why I do not believe in ghosts, which I also will share later.
Right.
But really hardcore, like, I just don't think spook, I mean, you know, spirits, whatever, afterlife, yeah. Who knows, you know, fucking creatures running around. I don't believe it, you know, things that go bump in the night. No, thank you. Now, I was at House of Pies, dear listeners, a gorgeous institution here in Los Angeles. I was eating myself a slice of pie with a big table of good people. And one of them is this lovely woman named Michelle, and she's a new friend and very, very nice. She knows my boyfriend, Luke, and whatever. And so like friend of friend, right? And so we like got to talk, because it was like the week of Halloween. We got to talking about like spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. And she got kind of like really serious and was just like, something really fucked up happened to like some friends of mine. And it's like really like insane to talk about because like nobody believes me. But I have a video. And so the context is there's a group of friends, her group of friends moved into this apartment together in New York. And it was like a couple weeks in, I think. And then they were just like fucking around. It's clearly like a video that, you know, they're just like having like a little gathering. And everyone in the house was accounted for in that room, in the same room that it was being filmed in, right? So everyone was in the same room. Ugh. They took this video, and the next day when they watched it back, when they all saw what was in this video, they all immediately broke their lease and moved. And it was an absolute unanimous, like, we got to get the fuck out. And so that's the build up to this. And so the video is like really simple. It's like 20 seconds long. It's just some person like playing, you know, the like ring drop game that you have in, yes, bars, right? So you swing the ring and you try to get it to hook on the wall. And so the friend is filming her and sort of moving the camera back and forth to see if she can get the ring on the hook. And then when she moves the camera to see if she indeed hooked the ring or whatever, there is a doorway. And in the doorway, there is a figure that is not apparent at first. But then as the camera is moving back towards her, you see the figure absolutely turn and move away and move sort of down the hall. And the figure, watching it back, you watch it in slow motion. It just looks like a woman or a person with long hair in a nightgown.
Yes.
And also, when you zoom into it and really watch it, there is no feet and there is no face.
Katie, I did not zoom in and I did not realize there are no feet.
I repeat, no feet, no face.
Unclear whether the no feet are related to lobsters nibbling the toes away, but Katie, when you sent me the video, I fully wasn't, and I would have been totally satisfied with a glowing orb or.
Certainly.
It is the most like bald depiction of like, oh, that's a specter. Like that is a full on, full on anthropomorphic specter.
1,010%. And it is just like one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, like even like the like fucked up sort of like I had a situation happen on YouTube, guys, that yes, are, you know, exist. Yes. Their shit, exactly as you said, it's always like infrared, weird light, right, source, you know, whatever it is. And this is just so not that, where it's like, okay, whether or not, here's the thing, mm-hmm, whether or not this is a something from the afterlife or beyond,
right?
Something happened where this group of people saw this, got so freaked out that they genuinely and here's the thing, I will tell you again, I was very embarrassed to bring this on the pod and keep talking about it because I am a little sister to a big brother named Sam. And when I showed him this video, I was so freaked out. I was like, my big brother, Sam, please look at this video. It will change your life. It will change the way that you view what is going on this wretched little realm we call Earth. And he watches it. He goes, you fucking idiot. I mean, he doesn't actually say that, but he goes, I have seen this video on Reddit.
Are you serious?
So here's one twist.
Wow.
He says, this is a viral video on Reddit. You fool.
Oh.
You younger sibling fool. And I became a shell of myself. I got sweaty. I said, wait, no, it's actually real though. No, wait, no, but the people that showed it to me, no, they were telling the truth. And we were eating pie together and they absolutely, and I started panicking. So Sam, my brother, sent me this link and it is indeed the same video. And then a billion, you know, dudes were like commenting like, stop fucking posting this. This has been posted like 10 times and everyone has some variation of like, this is my friend's friends, cousins, sisters, you know, whatever it is. And so then I was like, well, okay, well, I guess I'll go fuck myself forever. And leading up to this podcast, I double backed with these people and I said, I'm going to go on this podcast. Can I talk about this video? Will I be indeed called a fool? Will I show my cards as just a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, arms wide open type of gal? And they said, I promise I know these people and I promise that they moved out. I promise that those things are true.
Oh my God. That's a double twist.
I know. And here's the thing. It makes sense that it wound up on the internet because guess what? Every single person I've showed this to has been like, you need to send this to me right now because I need to send this to 10 people.
Right. Of course. Of course. Yeah. Wow. That's a very good point. I can't speak to the reality of what was going on, but it is scary enough when you know that like, oh, people were so shocked by this or so disturbed by this that they all like had to disengage or like break their lease or whatever. That's scary enough to me.
Absolutely. And it's like, again, like even if it was just some fucking nightgown person,
yes,
that is even more frightening to me. It's like, even if this was not a specter, but indeed just some fucking gal that was in their doorway, whatever, man. It's like they broke the lease. They were so petrified, as you said. It's like that, regardless of what's going on, that is powerful. That is spooky stuff. And that is like, you know, your worst nightmare.
That is such a good point. Wow. And what a good story of that. Because truly you can end up at both. Like the one is like, these are people who are clearly fucking with you. This is a famous viral video. But this twist of someone being like, no, I promise you. It also is like a continuation of like what makes urban legends so 100%. Impactful. Like, except now instead of just like a story, we have like a video that gets passed around.
Yes.
Wow.
It's
I had – so over Halloween weekend, my husband Chris and I were at a friend's bachelorette weekend and she had rented – or like we all rented together this like country house on like the tip of Long Island and it was 210 years old. It used to be like the town post office like a long, long time ago. But here's the thing. I walked in. Not a negative vibe to be found. Like walked in very warm – calming vibe, never scared to go to sleep, like all rickety little narrow staircases and like fireplaces totally. And stuff. It was very cool. But on the night of the 30th, there was this like long, long dining room table, enough to seat like 16 people, which was the amount of people there. And I was sitting at the head of one of the heads of the table and I felt Chris walk behind me. Like I felt impact on the wood floorboards. I felt like him brush behind me. I didn't think anything of it. But as that happened, I looked across and Chris was already seated at the table. Virtually everyone was already seated at the table. There was no one else in the house who could have walked behind me. And the thing is like, what I didn't do in that moment, even though it was Halloween, I wasn't like, everybody, wait. Because I was like, I know there has to be a reasonable explanation. Like, I know it's like some weird, like someone shifted and it made a sound like footsteps and the way the noise bounced off. But to me, I like realize why these like personal ghost stories have such like lasting power. It's like, in that moment, all that mattered was how I received that stimulus.
1,000%. And how interesting is it that your mind went directly, like whatever presence may or may not have been there was so familiar. We're like, this is my husband.
Right. That was the thing. It was like, I think it's because there is a difference between when someone brushes by you who you're in a relationship with versus like a friend.
1,000%.
It's just a very different thing. And this was, it wasn't a flirty brush by, but it was a very familiar.
Yeah. Like,
it was someone who was not trying to make themselves not known to me, you know?
Totally. Wow. That is so, and it's, I think of all the encounters, it's like, what a kind of nice one, I suppose.
Know.
Like pulling up another seat to the table. Maybe it was, it's like an Elijah situation. Are you Jewish? Yeah.
I'm not, but I was born in Boca Raton and virtually all of my friends were Jewish growing up.
Yes, gorgeous.
So yeah, I'm very familiar. I also think like when it, I have to point out just how incredibly funny you are, but also how good at atmosphere you are. I have to bring up this video, which I've told 1,000 people about. Chris and I have watched it 1,000 times. Katie has an animation of an experience she had Googling like fun Simpsons pics. I won't spoil it, but it is like the best usage of the Shining soundtrack I've ever heard.
Wow.
And also the way it's cut, it is a work of art. And in addition to being very funny, it is also very scary and
that
tense.
Makes me feel so good. Thank you so much.
It real and was The Shining at all like a movie that you watched young, or was that something that you came to later in life?
Well, you know, The Shining, I had a weird experience with. I watched the movie. So get this. This is actually pretty weird. I was told, I remember watching, but you know, I love Jaws when I was, you know, little, wanted to watch all the scary movies. I remember my dad specifically being like, you are absolutely not allowed to see The Shining. The Shining is too messed up.
Yeah.
And it's like a mommy daddy movie and you cannot see it. And I remember obviously that made me want to watch it so badly. And then by the time I did, I was like 12, you know, and watched it and like, now, obviously, it is truly, you know, it's like a work of art. I love it so much. But at the time, I think I was so let down because it's not as like fucked up as I thought that it, you know, would be. Because to me at the time, I was like the scariest movie I'd ever seen in my life was The Ring.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
Which is like such a different vibe and such a different, you know, thing altogether. So when I was little, I kind of like rejected The Shining and I was like, this is not that scary, so it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously like in high school and college, I was like, oh yeah, this rules. Had such an appreciation for the soundtrack and you know, just like I love, you know, the Kubrick wide shots and the zooming, and that's what I tried to bring to that experience. But absolutely, I think like a lot of people had the misfortune of like Googling like cool Simpsons desktop pictures and absolutely saw Bart and Lisa just like, you know, it was the first pornographic image I ever saw.
What was going on back then? The internet was like, the internet's always been depraved. And yet at that point it was so on the surface of what was available to children.
Right.
All of the Lord of the Rings characters' heads superimposed on porn stars. And like, actually that like I somehow, and I'll be honest with you, I was not looking for, and they were popping up willy-nilly like nobody's business.
It is crazy. It's also like, as you know, because it's not going away, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like the technology is better, and so they are able to make, you know, some horrible person spent so much time making like, oh, like this is like a really realistic depiction of like father incredible railing mother incredible and like we have like mastered the like width of his shaft and like, you know, the impact of the force of the pump with how his like testicles would move in that situation. And we've added like little like backtrack of like flesh. And it's just like, and it is something where you're like, right. Yeah. I like this, has like ruined my afternoon and I can't like watch that movie now. You know?
Hey, gentle listeners. So that's it for today's episode, but please do tune in on Friday because Katie will be rejoining us once again to read Faster and Faster and discuss outdated horror tropes, childhood funerals, and the seminal masterpiece of the early aughts, Eight-Legged Freaks. You're not going to want to miss it. In the meantime, please be well and get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.